The views expressed by the host and guests of this program are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of the Truth Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
Oh, I'm so glad that we're here. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood because it's the day the Lord has made. So there's reason to rejoice and be glad in it. There's an awful lot of chaos and commotion and craziness in the world around us, no doubt, because it's another day that ends in Y. But regardless, we are here for such a time as this, and God gives us exactly the power to meet the day in front of us. So that being said, I think like most people, we are watching for the verdict from the Derek Chauvin trial regarding the death of George Floyd. So if news comes on that, we will be sure to let you know what we know as soon as we know. But until then, we continue to remain in prayer over that and over pretty much everything pertaining to life and godliness. My name is Rebecca, and I'm so glad that you're joining us today. This is Life Tuesday, a tradition unlike any other here at Faith Works Live, where we celebrate life. We talk about defending and protecting life and the ways that it looks in the practical world to live out your pro-life convictions. So that's something that's very close to our heart. And if you're listening, then we trust it's close to your heart as well. So my partner in crime, as always, on Life Tuesday is Tim Overland from Personhood, Iowa. Hey, Tim.
Hello, Rebecca.
I'm glad you're here. And I got to see some very cute baby pictures of your grandsons.
Yes.
So that's you're always welcome, but you're especially welcome when you bring baby pictures.
Well, it's not like I don't have those usually at the ready.
Like, oh, really? How am I doing? Let me show you these pictures. But yes, we get to celebrate them, too.
Seems to make everything better.
Absolutely. And our producer extraordinaire is Ron Carlson. Hello, Ron.
How's it going, eh?
It's so good. It's good because you're working your magic behind the board. So that makes it good in my mind, no matter what. And today is a special day because we get to say hello to our friend Laura Lemix from Restored by Grace Ministries. Hi, Laura.
Hello. It's good to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. It's been a while. I know you've been on the show, but it's been a while since you and I have gotten a chance to talk.
It has been. It has
so been. Have you been?
I've been well. But good. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. I know it feels like it's been the end of just this long winter, and everybody is starting to gather and socialize and get a chance to talk and do things again.
Yes, so exactly.
That brings a smile to my face, no
yes,
matter what.
Mine, too.
But I saw, I've been in contact just through Facebook, even though I abandoned Iowa for a short time. And then,
well,
like,
back just in time.
Then, like, the prodigal came back from the Twin Cities, back to the lovely state of Iowa. I've been monitoring and just trying to keep in touch with all the great stuff that you're doing as well. And I saw your post not that long ago of you and the governor. And I thought, oh, well, that's a perfect opportunity to talk with you again, because Governor Kim Reynolds made the proclamation that April is Abortion Recovery Month in Iowa. So that's pretty exciting. Can you tell us a bit about that and how that came to be?
Yeah, so she has been doing this for a few years, and prior to that, Governor Branstad did. But yeah, she sees that there is a need for men, women, and families to receive help after an abortion. So she has stayed with that and makes that proclamation that April be Abortion Recovery Month. And it's such an important thing because that's part of being a voice for the children, is, you know, also being a voice for their mothers and their fathers. Mm.
And it states publicly the things that hopefully we know and understand, but maybe not everyone knows, that abortion, far from being an answer to a problem or a solution that we're convincing young women are would be best for them, it's actually creating great pain.
Absolutely.
In generations of women, as well as the children at stake.
Absolutely, yes. I work with women in abortion recovery care, and the pain that they have, the regret, the guilt that they feel, the shame that they bear is enormous, enormous. And I speak from my own experience with it.
Yeah. I'm listening, but my Twitter's blowing up. Guilty on all three charges.
The verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial.
Yeah, the verdict came in. As we were saying before, I'm not sure how that happens when you've got murder and manslaughter and you think one would cancel out. But anyway, I'm sure there'll be lots of news. So, but that's the breaking news, is that Derek Chauvin was found guilty on all three charges.
Yes. Coverage from CNN, former Minneapolis Police Chief Derek Chauvin convicted on all charges by the jury in the Hennepin County Court. So that's second degree unintentional murder, third degree murder, and second degree manslaughter in George Floyd's death. So that carries with it some substantial jail time, you know, upwards of several decades.
Yeah.
Several decades in jail.
Loads of appeals. So this isn't going away.
No, I would imagine the appeals, basically that's already been written. It was ready the moment this came down on either side. So, all right. Well, we continue to pray for Minneapolis. Lord be with that city to the north. And I just know that there are so many people that are hurting right now, and people that are angry and frustrated and just looking for answers and looking for justice, which it seems like is being perverted by the enemy of our souls. And Lord, we know that your heart is for justice. Your heart is for mercy. And we ask that that be the shining definition, that we be able to stand, that the people of God stand in bright contrast to those who are breathing hatred and violence, and that God's people be found wherever there is hurt and wherever there is brokenness, that your people be there and shine as the lights that you have appointed us to be. In Jesus' name. All right. Needed that moment. Thank you, Tim, for keeping an eye on that. All right. Now, yeah, like we mentioned, when there is violence, when there's hurt, when there's pain, there's great sorrow. And we see that in a disregard for life. But we see that when people are, I think, confused or pressured into a situation where they feel like they have to make a choice that wouldn't be right. And Laura, you mentioned that you do this from a place of personal experience. You do this from the love and the healing that you've found in Christ. Would you be able to share just a little bit of your story and kind of refresh people's minds on?
Absolutely. So as a teenager, I found myself pregnant, and I was fearful to tell anybody. And I felt the best thing to do was to secretly just go and have an abortion, and nobody would know. And I really thought when I left the clinic that day, I didn't ever want to talk about it again. I just wanted to forget about it. But it's not something you just forget about. Right. There would be things that would remind me of that day for years. And I finally came to a place where I knew that I needed to work through it. And through the just kind of a course of connecting with various people, I discovered that there was help for women that have had an abortion. And so I went through a journey of just reconciling my heart in so many areas, you know, with the Lord, with others that were in my life at the time of that decision, and ultimately reconciling with that child that I lost, because that was a great loss, and really grieving that little baby that I'll never get to hold this side of heaven.
I think that's something that's so, so hard, and might be a contributing factor to why women might seek to bury it or to just not want to talk about it, because it's such a deep wound.
Absolutely. I don't know, you know, here it is, your own flesh and blood. And as women, we're created to nurture and protect our young. And here we go against the very thing that in our nature we were created to do. And that brings with it so much guilt and shame and pain that you took your own child's life.
And I think there's a struggle maybe in the pro-life movement and community as to how to communicate both the evil of abortion. You know, unequivocally, we need to state that killing your child is wrong and that that's what abortion is.
Exactly.
So in no uncertain terms on that, but also lifting out our hands and our hearts to the women who have been in that position, who are post-abortive, and say, we still love you and there's still hope and healing for you, and we're not casting you out.
Absolutely. That's one of the biggest fears they have, is rejection or judgment. And so they keep that secret close because that's, you know, they fear, hey, if I let it out, then all of this will come against me. What will people say to me? What will people say about me behind my back? All of those things.
What was something in your story that brought you to maybe some of those turning points? You mentioned it was a process, but what were a few of those things that maybe started to turn your heart toward the process of healing and being able to reconcile to to repent and to heal, not only in human terms, I guess I could say, psychological terms, but in spiritual terms as well.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. First of all, you know, it was around the time that my child would have graduated from high school. And so even though you don't want to think about those milestones, they just happen. Like if you would lose any age child, you those milestones still come to your memory. And so it was around the time that my child would have been graduating from high school. And actually, I had really found my way back to the church in some ways, because I really felt like the church was going to judge me for that. Mm. And it was a season where I just didn't want anything standing between me and the Lord. And I felt like it was something that I had to deal with in my heart, so that I didn't, you know, God already knew.
Right.
But I needed to reconcile in my own heart, because every time otherwise I felt the shame, and I was tired of bearing the shame and the guilt. And although I knew he forgived me,
yeah,
there was still more that I had to walk through in forgiving others, and really even coming to a place of forgiving myself, letting my, you know, no longer being angry and judgmental of myself.
That brought to mind the verse in Hebrews. We were talking about Hebrews actually yesterday, and in chapter 12, the author of Hebrews talks about throwing off anything that hinders us, the sin that so easily entangles, and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame.
Yeah.
And when I think about shame, that's the immediately where my mind goes, because it's so real for so many of us. And I think that's something that even after we come to faith in Christ, even after we become a Christian, we say, all right, I am a child of God, we're still able to, I think for whatever reason, the enemy still entangles us with the shame and keeps us down and keeps us quiet and keeps us just doubting our own new identity in Christ. And that's the whole reason that Jesus went to the cross in the first place, is to set us free from our sin and from the guilt and from the shame associated with that, so that we could live in freedom. And that's a message that I think anyone would be hopefully overjoyed. They can't talk about it or admit it.
Absolutely. And that's, I mean, what you said there was just perfect. It's all the stuff that comes, it came to a point for me where it was like, I can't bear this anymore. And even though I knew that God had forgiven me, there was a point of, in my exposing myself, it really allowed the light of his love to shine even greater into my heart and bring healing in that area that I really had hidden, you know. God is truth, God is light, and you have to bring that stuff into the light.
Amen. And that takes some courage to do so. I think a combination of humility and courage.
Yes.
So maybe we can get to that next. We're speaking with the wonderful Laura Lemix of Restored by Grace Ministries about abortion recovery. Healing is real and possible. And we'll talk more in just a moment here on FaithWorks Live.
Welcome to FaithWorks Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
Our friends at Agape Pregnancy Resource Center do amazing work in the really what we're talking about today and what we talk about every week on Life Tuesday, which is practical application of pro-life principle. They are there for young women in crisis pregnancy. They offer free services like pregnancy testing, STD testing, confirmation ultrasounds, and really help women make informed decisions and help them prepare for their futures and the futures that really their whole family. They change whole family trees over at Agape, and they offer, you know, even more in terms of practical help, diapers, formula, personal hygiene items, just so much more, classes to help women get on their feet and take those next steps for success in their lives and to help their children as well. You can find out how to partner with this great ministry, agapedsm.com, agapedsm.com. This is Life Tuesday. I'm Rebecca Haney, and let me tell you, because I've promised to be better about this, about letting people know that you can be a part of the discussion, at 515-727-5842. 515-727-5842. We are also live on our Faith Works Live Facebook page, another day without being censored. So I count that as a win.
Your mom's all smiles.
My mom is all smiles. Yeah. Hi, Mom. Well, good to have you with us. She's one of our biggest fans. If you'd like to chat with us there on Facebook, you can do that as well. And you've heard the voice of Tim Overland from Personhood, Iowa. So we'll get an update from him in just a couple of minutes. But our theme for today is abortion recovery. April, in the state of Iowa, April has been designated as Abortion Recovery Month officially by the governor, which is pretty important because that draws attention to the fact that abortion is kind of this secret, silent sin, maybe, in a lot of people's lives. There's a shame of an unspoken curse, this unspoken hurt that we're telling women is good for them. We're telling them is the answer to the stress or the problems of an unplanned pregnancy. And women are carrying around guilt that they don't think they can talk about. And Laura, you are bringing this to the light. Like you said, if God is the light and Jesus is the light, then there is forgiveness when we bring our sin to him, when we leave it at the foot of the cross and believe the truth that he has covered those sins for us. If we're in him, that we no longer have to be afraid and ashamed and judged and embarrassed by that anymore, because the old person is gone and the new has come. But for whatever reason, I don't think we apply that in the church in the same way to abortion. It's like this special category of sin that we don't really talk about. We think that that might be unforgivable somehow. And that's not true.
No, it's not. I think a lot of us that have had an abortion spend a lot of years feeling like we have a big A on our forehead, and that discounts us from the grace and the mercy of God. And it doesn't. I mean, Jesus' precious blood was shed so that all sins could be forgiven, and not one drop was in vain. Mm-hmm. And it covers a multitude of sins. And it doesn't say in the Bible, oh, abortion's an unforgivable sin. It doesn't say that. And it is, and God, what is so amazing is, because I've worked with enough women now, that I see how much God longs to minister to these women's hearts. He's so tender. There are times where it's a tough class, and I ask people, be praying. It's going to be a hard week. And he does the work during the week. You know, Holy Spirit's so faithful, and they'll come back, and, you know, God is in it. It makes my job really easy because it's him doing it, not me, when I work with these women.
Well, let's give people just a quick, I guess, nutshell version of what you do. I've said Restored by Grace Ministries, and I've linked to it in our Facebook chat there, but it's restoredbygraceministries.com for people to find out more. What are some of the ways that you help women heal?
So we do a very biblically based recovery class, and it lasts 8 weeks, and we look at all different things. We identify, here's how my life has been affected because of this abortion. And sometimes we don't realize how that abortion decision is affecting us every day. And then we also look at the ways we were lied to in that decision. There's so many, whether it's, oh, they were told it was a blob of tissue, or that they couldn't be a good mom, or that they were too young, or if they had the baby, they couldn't get an education. And we break all those lies down, because that's really the wall that's keeping them from really coming into just the truth, mm-hmm. the truth of what really happened that day. And a lot of them don't even understand what the abortion entailed. And so we talk about that. And really where that leads is then they're angry because they realize how deeply they've been deceived and how it's affected relationships and so many areas of their life. And so we talk about anger and how there's righteous anger, but we can't stay there. And so we move on to forgiveness. And that's where we really begin to see such a change, is in forgiveness, because we no longer begin focusing on the horrible trauma of this event that's called an abortion, but we really begin to grieve this little baby that we lost. And so then we go into time on grief, just letting these ladies grieve. And we have an opportunity after the 8 weeks to go to what we call a reconciliation weekend, where they get to reconcile more with the Lord, themselves, with others. And we end the weekend with a memorial service where they get to honor that little baby they lost. And I cry, my team cries as much as the participants, because it is amazing to see God work in their hearts that over that weekend.
I can tell. I'm right there with you. I'm right on the cusp of emotional. Tim, you want to talk? You want to say something?
Well, I can tell you, as people that have listened to this, I've been through one of those reconciliation weekends with my wife. And I know that this ministry needs financial support, but when she's coming up on those classes, investing in Kleenex is a big, big one. So, yeah, very moving, very emotional. People from all different backgrounds and stories and reasons, you know, their reasons. Everybody has their reasons. But ultimately, that they believe that lie, that this was going to make it better. And whether it's, I've seen, I know of women that have gone through your program that are just a few years removed from their abortion, up to decades from their abortion. And it's amazing the commonalities in those stories, but also, you know, it's just amazing seeing those stories being retold, I guess, and as Laura said earlier, covered, you know, by the blood and helping those ladies come out of that.
Laura, as you're sharing your story, I know there are probably women that have a similar story, but a different type of ending, or at least they're in a different chapter. And I've talked with women who say, I've had an abortion and I don't regret it. It was the only thing I could do at the time. It was, you know, that's the reason that I was able to do this. And sometimes you hear about it in celebrities, they'll share that part of their story. So I know we're coming up on a bit of a break, but I wonder if you'd be able to share your thoughts on that, maybe on the other side, about this trend where instead of society sort of agreeing that abortion is a quote unquote necessary evil, now we're saying, well, this is actually a good thing and women should shout their abortion. We should be proud of it, because that is a very different philosophy, a very different message. It sort of feels like the polar opposite of the beautiful message that you're describing in Christ, that there is evil, but that it is, you know, forgivable, and that we can bring that into the light and achieve healing from that. The culture is presenting a very different option for women, and I don't see a lot of positive effect from that, but I wonder if you'd be willing to share your thoughts on something like that when we come back.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, wonderful. Laura Lemix is our gracious guest. She's with Restored by Grace Ministries. Go to restoredbygraceministries.com, and we shall here on FaithWorks Live, Lord willing, be right back.
Welcome to FaithWorks Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
You've heard me say two words together that make me very happy. Onimus Beef. They do delicious dinners, and as a mom of five in our household, like, everybody wants to eat for whatever reason, at least three times a day they like to do this. And that means I gotta have a plan for dinner, and I do this afternoon show, and that means my plan for dinner has to be a plan ahead. So, Onimus Beef can help a girl out, is all I'm going to say, because it's delicious, it's great value for the money, and if you've never ordered beef straight from the farm, you just got to check it out for yourself. And you can do that by going to onimusbeef.com, and they'll answer any questions that you might have. They'll help you order online, and, you know, whether you need a whole cow, or you need a quarter or half, or something less, they have smaller bundles as well, so really, it fits your needs. You can go to onimusbeef.com, that's onimusbeef.com. I agree. That is yum. It is yum. Tim, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, for sure.
And our friends at Iowans for Life, they have been hard at work ever since 1972. They've been advocating for the dignity of human life from very beginning, at conception till natural death. And they have been instrumental in the Protect Life Amendment and advocating for that at the State House. There are some updates on that.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Really, what I would say is find out who your House representative is and call and encourage them strongly to finish this session up with what I have said multiple times is the very least we should be doing on the life front, and that's to pass the Protect Life Amendment.
This could be an easy win. Could be an easy yes vote.
It's a very easy yes vote because we still have a long road to go before it even gets to the vote of the people. So, yeah, this should be something that should be done You know, we did this for 2 years in the previous previous assemblies. They just need to get this passed. And so there's two forms of language there. There's a House language and the Senate language. The Coalition of Pro-Life Leaders have made it very known that we prefer the Senate language. It's been tested, you know, via polling, and it's the best language. And so it's back at the House, and we understand there's some uphill battles in the House. So if you know anybody, in particular, if you live in, well, whoever your House rep is, I don't care what party they are, this is an easy vote. This should be, this is returning government back into the constitutional bounds that it's supposed to be, putting the Supreme Court back in its box, if you will. And, it gives us the opportunity and the lawmakers to actually the ability to make the law, not some judges that were not elected.
Right.
So call,
I would agree.
Yeah, find your House rep, encourage them to strongly encourage leadership to bring this up for a vote, because there's no reason this should have passed a long time ago, but they need to get it done.
Yeah, and you can find your legislator, if you don't know who they are, at legis.iowa.gov. So LEGIS as in legislator, legis.iowa.gov. So a quick couple of clicks and you can have a friendly, respectful and direct conversation and let them know that this should be an easy yes.
Yeah, they'll be
easy
up there. Yes. They're up there at the Capitol basically Monday through Thursday, sometimes on Friday as they're wrapping up the session. I'm sure they'll be there longer hours, but you can go up and say hi to them if they'll come out and talk to you. But yeah, they need to know in no uncertain terms that this needs to pass. There's, like I said, it's the very least we can do. We've had the trifecta since, you know, the opening gavel of 2017. And, you know, the fact that this is where we're at is shameful, frankly.
See, I thought that we would have good news on that score, so I'm still hopeful. I'm still going to pray that we have good news on that score. We'll continue to follow, but yes, that, I think, depends on the voice of the people, including the people listening to this radio show right now. So, yes, please do connect with your leaders in a respectful and, as I said, direct way, that this is something we need to be doing. We need to protect life in the state of Iowa, and this is one way that we can do that in a very easy and, I would say, non-controversial way. Of course, nothing is non-controversial these days, I'm afraid. But yeah, I can do that tomorrow, and hopefully everybody out there listening can do that as well. Now, our gracious guest today is Laura Lemix from Restored by Grace Ministries. We're talking about hope after abortion, recovery for post-abortive women and men, which we'll get to. So thank you for reminding me of that, Laura. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. But as we just were going into the break, I've been thinking about the truth that there is hope, healing, and redemption after abortion. But there's also a lie in the culture that corresponds to that. And there are women that continue to say, no, I did have an abortion. It was the best thing ever. It was the only answer for me. And I'm not ashamed. And I'm never, you know, this is the reason that I'm able to make my accomplishments. And so it really does feel like they're promoting a lie that maybe they even believe themselves, and they're out there kind of loud and proud about the shouting their abortion. And I wonder if you would have a few words to say about that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, they want to protect themselves. And so in order to do that, there's some self-preservation in there that they don't want to necessarily believe that this was really a baby, a little life, you know, that they were a mommy and they took their baby's life. That's a hard pill to swallow. And so it's easier to justify that you did the right thing or feel justified in doing the right thing or try to make yourself feel justified in doing the right thing that, you know, hey, yeah, I couldn't have done this without having the abortion. But as we were talking, it's sad to say that a woman can't be successful and have a child. I mean, that's a direct assault against women. Because we can. Women are strong. Women can multitask. Women can do amazing things. They can parent and have an amazing career. So to say that, it's just an excuse. There's no truth in it.
It's not empowering.
No.
That's for sure. It's the opposite.
It's demeaning.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So I think that's a lot of it. And there's just pure evil out there in some cases as well, you know. So it's hard to sometimes sit and listen to someone that tries to justify their abortion decision, but deep down, they just don't want to embrace the truth is a lot of it as well. It's just too painful.
Well, and as you mentioned, there's so much more for women are capable of so much, and we're so strong. And that's what I'm going to stand on, sisters, because I'm here in full new mom mode. And I confess that there may be times when I am not quite sure the words that are going to come out of my mouth. So stay tuned. It's ever a surprise because we're in newborn state with little Elijah in our house, but my husband and I are going to team up and we're going to get through, any sleepless nights together. We're going to work hard for the good of our family because there's nothing more joyful. There's nothing harder than being a parent, but there's also nothing more joyful that can bring you to those mountains of just triumph. And you think, oh, yes, you get to look in their little faces and think, thank you, God. Thank you. This is an amazing moment. And I know I'm sleep deprived and I know there's peanut butter in my hair and it's probably never going to be the same. I might not have the season shoes and I might not have, the same timeline that I thought that I would, but I can do this through your grace, Lord. And you've given me something so much better. Just because it doesn't fit our plan doesn't mean that it's not incredibly good. In fact, often it means that it's better because God's timing is never too early or too late. It just doesn't always match up with ours, but we conform to his timing. I think at least I've had many, many things to be grateful for. Now, as you mentioned, Laura, there are the focus is predominantly on women, but there's also room for men and healing there in their hearts as well.
Yep. We do have some material for men as well, and we've had a lot of men go through our weekend. We just had a weekend this over the winter, and we had two husbands come along, but neither one of them they had unique stories of their own. Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily that the abortion was with their wife, but they had their own unique stories.
Oh.
And it was just beautiful the way, number one, some people think, oh, you have men and women together. Isn't that awkward? It's actually an amazing thing because we become a family together and we work through that together. And, the women might feel like, oh, this is uncomfortable with this guy here. And by the end of the weekend, they're like a brother to them and they're just coming alongside them and encouraging them. And it's amazing, but men struggle too. A lot of men didn't have a voice and it is heart-wrenching to see a man just break down and cry because he had no say in the life of his little baby being taken.
And that's another lie that as a culture we've been promoting to say that this is only about women, it's her body and men should have nothing to say. I think it's because that when men and women, we function best when we're working together. God designed us to be partners together when we're at our best. But when we're divided from one another, then men aren't able to lend the strength of their voice to support the women that are in this vulnerable position. So I absolutely agree. Men need to be empowered to take back their voice in this situation and to be dads and to be able to say, yes, I'm standing up for my wife for this woman that I love and for my child as well. And to be able to grieve when that fatherhood's been lost.
Yes, exactly.
Laura Limix from Restored by Grace. We have just a few more minutes with her when we come back here on FaithWorks Live.
Welcome to FaithWorks Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
The fine folks at InterVisions Healthcare provide free, caring, and confidential pregnancy care to anyone, but particularly women in a crisis pregnancy situation. If you have an unplanned pregnancy, they will provide free pregnancy testing, STD testing, confirmation ultrasounds, and just the counseling and the information and support that you truly need. There, you don't need more pressure. You don't need more negative voices in your head. You need real help and hope. And you will find that at InterVisions. They have two clinics, one on the west side and one one on the south side, and you can call them 24 hours a day at 515-440-2273. That's 515-440-2273 for Inner Visions Healthcare. Now, Tim, you have a great question that I think it's always worth bringing up because we're Christian here, and I would imagine a lot of people listening to the sound of my voice would consider themselves to be Christian, spiritual, interested in how we can act as the church, how we can do better as the church in a multitude of ways, but in particular on this area as well.
Yeah, so, and we've talked about this on this show multiple times. We talk about a lot with Personhood Iowa that 7 out of 10 women who have an abortion claim to be Christian. We can pare that down a little bit and say 4 out of those 7 are regular attenders. And I guess the new definition for regular attenders is once or twice a month.
Okay.
So they're going to church, still having abortions. So, you know, what do we do with that? We know pastors, this is, you know, you guys kind of referred to it earlier as sort of like the third rail. This is that sin we don't talk about. And I've had a lot of conversations with pastors and why don't we have this conversation? And when a pastor says to me, well, I don't want to make somebody feel uncomfortable. Mm. I mean, that gets my blood boiling a little bit because it's like, I mean, I can't think of many other sins that I haven't heard a pastor talk about in a church. Yet we don't talk about this. So, you know, now we're telling somebody, you know, like Laura, let's say, that walks into a church and we don't hear about this sin. So is this saying, one, it's either not so bad or it's so shameful that I can't even talk about it, and that, you know, I already don't like myself. So now you're telling me Jesus can't love me. So I guess all that being said, Laura, what can we do? How can we encourage pastors? What can we do as the body to be better about saying that, look, being pregnant's not the sin. What got you there may have been, but we don't want to compound sin with more sin. And then if you have done that, if you are somebody who has this in your past, how do we address that to say there is healing, that yes, Jesus did die for you too?
I think it's really almost exactly what you said, Tim. It's being willing to stand in your pulpits and say, you know, that we realize there could be some women here today that have an abortion in their story, and we don't want you to feel like there's judgment or condemnation. There is healing there. You know, Jesus died for that sin too, and we want you to get help and receive that, whatever you might need, whether it's healing from the trauma or just having someone to talk to. I think it just has to be presented in a compassionate manner. It, you know, I think sometimes what they've done is they do talk about against abortion, which they need to do, but then they don't go to the other side and say, but we realize that there could be women here today that are struggling.
Well, and then leading up to that, how do we talk about abortion being a bad thing in a way that, you know, because we know that there are women in that church, just statistically, that maybe are pregnant or seeking that. You know, you had a church background. They're like, gosh, I can't let anybody know that I messed up, whether I was a preacher's kid or whatever the case is. What do I do? And being able to get that message out. I know, like at the fort, they've embraced grace.
Embrace grace. Yep.
So
right. Yes.
Messages like that, like, look, yes, that's not the ideal situation, but oh my gosh, don't make this decision you're going to regret for the rest of your life, and love them at that point. And that's a fine line, right? I mean, we can't, because now it looks like, hey, we're saying that do whatever you want to do. We're, you know, so that truth and grace is a tough balance. Mm-hmm. But, you know, letting these young women in particular know, man, just because you're pregnant doesn't mean that we're going to kick you out of the church. You know, sin is sin. Unrepentant sin is something that you deal with, but then also repentant sin, we still love you, you're part of the family. Now let's help move forward and not make a worse decision, again, that you're going to regret for the rest of your life.
And I think what you said there, Tim, is so key, that if we are ashamed to talk about sin in the bold and yet merciful way that we're supposed to, that can be a difficult line to walk. And people can, you know, interpret it however, but you have to allow and trust that the Holy Spirit is operating in the midst of that, that if we're doing so with love, and we're speaking the truth in love together in tandem, that it's going to honor God in that, and that the young women will be able to hear, and women of any age, people who have been ravaged by the impact of these types of sins must hear the truth in order to achieve redemption. And if we're not talking about it, then we're not proclaiming that possibility and that road to redemption for them. We're allowing people to sit with sin in their conscience, in their souls, hurting them, harming them. And that's so far from our job as the church. That means we're falling down in our responsibility to be able to speak the truth in love. And again, those two always have to be in conjunction with one another. And it is true that abortion is evil. It is the intentional killing of a pre-born human being. And yet, Jesus died for that too. And I remember hearing, I don't know if you know the name Becky Pippert, but she wrote a pretty influential book about evangelism called Out of the Salt Shaker into the World. And so I had been part of an interview with her talking about evangelism, talking about how people share their stories. And she shared one where there was a woman who was a leader in their church at that time. And she confessed to Becky that she had an abortion in her past. And she was in the church and she was leading in the church at that time. But for her, there was the shame factor, like people are going to know, people are going to know that I was doing something I shouldn't have been. And then I ended up pregnant. So I just felt so ashamed that I went ahead and had an abortion. And now I'm racked with guilt over being a Christian who killed my child. And, you know, it doesn't feel like there's any forgiveness in that for me. And Becky said, I took a deep breath and I didn't know what I was going to say. And the words... She said, the words of the Holy Spirit came out through me. And she said, Becky said to this woman, Jesus knew that he was forgiving murder in you because we're responsible for the death of his son. God knew that he knew that the people of earth would reject his son and would take the life of his son. And Jesus said, send me anyway. He said, I give my life for you. And understanding not that we're, That doesn't mean that this isn't an awful thing that we've been participating in, but it doesn't mean that it's unforgivable either, because God kind of had baked into this whole prospect that we would kill his very own innocent son. And that in that very act, that would be the means for us to achieve forgiveness for the depth of the most heinous of our sins. So there's nothing that's unforgivable when that is the backdrop. When we bring ourselves and our shame and our guilt to the light of the cross, there's nothing that is too big for God to forgive. But we have to make that journey. We have to be the ones to lay our heart bare at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I have to, there's nothing that I can do to earn my way. There's nothing that I can do to make this right. Lord, it's all up to you. And it's everything that Jesus has already done. And so to me, that was really powerful. She says it more powerfully in her book anyway. So check out Becky Pippert's Out of the Salt Shaker. But I thought that story was fascinating, that there was a woman who was leading in a church and that was the reason that she said, I have done this and it's unforgivable and I can't reconcile this. And for her to say, the death of Christ says you can. The death of Christ and his resurrection, his victory over death, is the very reason that you can.
Well, and how about, the pastor that's up there? Now look, as you just illustrated, yes, you can be a Christian and have an abortion in your past. I think we all know that. But the fact that, somebody who's wallowing in that shame and you have a pastor up there not helping them deal with unrepentant sin is cutting off that direct line and impeding that direct line with Jesus. And it's, that's the pastor's responsibility is to share that, the truth of the sin, but also the powerful truth and the grace. And that's why I said, that gets my blood going. Well, I just want to save her feelings. This isn't about saving the feelings. This is about helping her improve her relationship with the Lord.
They're stuck, and the pastors have an opportunity to extend an opportunity for them to get unstuck emotionally, spiritually, all those things.
And to do so intentionally and in a wonderfully biblically based way with ministries like Restored by Grace. Laura Lemix, it's always such a joy to talk with you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And if you'd like to know more, and if this message has touched your heart, check out restoredbygraceministries.com. This has been another Life Tuesday in the books. Lord willing, we'll be back at it again tomorrow here on FaithWorks Live.